Well, it is always a joy when we have the opportunity for people to just confess openly their faith in Jesus. Lisa Hines is going to come and join me right now. You know, some of us are hunters. We get excited about getting a deer. I've been hearing stories all morning from the deer hunters. But what gets me even more excited about temporal things, which will pass away, is when people come to trust Christ as Savior. Amen? And Lisa, it's just been a joy to get to know you. And I know you've been a longtime friend of Kathleen Bassel.
Since
age seven. Okay. Well, time flies when we're having fun, right?
Yes.
And Lisa is following the pattern in Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that there were those who believed. They put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Then they were baptized as an outward witness of that inward faith. They were added to the church. They became part of a local church family. And then they continued in doctrine and being taught and in fellowship, in communion, as we will participate this morning. And so Lisa has been following those steps. I know you and Kathleen have gotten together and done some real study of God's Word together just to ground your faith in Christ. And so she prepared her testimony on video, so we're going to watch that right now.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Hines, and I've been coming here and attending Calvary Baptist for the last couple years and doing Bible studies, which I love also. And I love the people in it and around me. I've had ten years that I can remember of having several Bible studies in other churches. And tried to take three at a time, at times, trying to learn more and more and more about our Lord. And about 2 years ago, I came to Calvary Baptist. And I came because my most wonderful friend, Kathleen Bassel, Jesus, my Jesus, your Jesus, gave his only son so that we might have life. Can you imagine giving your only son and then to have him endure all that pain? And in that, he didn't wait with just that. He then gave us the Holy Spirit to help us every day, every hour. And that Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He helps us. And I praise God in all this. I want to share and demonstrate who I am and the special gifts we've been given. And I hope that I show that to you. Thank you.
Amen. And I know Kathleen Bassold, a dear friend, is going to lead us in prayer right now. If Kathleen, you'll stand, we'll get the microphone to you. And just lead us in prayer for your dear friend as she continues in a life of faith. And I know that'll be a blessing to Lisa.
Let us pray. Dear Holy Father, bless my dear friend as she takes this step to follow the example of Jesus in baptism, as she publicly proclaims her love for Christ. Be with her and strengthen her in her walk and testimony for God. May she always reflect God's gracious presence in her life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Lisa, as you know, there's no salvation in the water. It's in Christ and Christ alone. He died on that cross, was buried, and rose again to give us eternal life. And this is a beautiful picture. We're picturing what Jesus did for us and the fact that when you repented and trusted him as your Savior, God put you in Jesus. And you now have a life that's hid in Christ. His life is in you and you are in him. And we're so thankful for this witness that you're giving today publicly of your personal faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his resurrection and raised in the likeness, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. God bless you, Lisa, as you walk with Jesus in a life of faith. Amen. Well, it's so wonderful that when God begins a work in us of faith, of repentance, of relationship with him, that he then continues that work. And so pray for Lisa as she continues to live and walk by faith. And it may be you've come to put your trust in Jesus and experience the new birth, being placed into Christ, but yet not have had the privilege of identifying publicly in a believer's baptism. And we would encourage you, here's water. What would hinder you from giving that outward witness of your inward faith?
The Bible says that there's going to be a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a privilege we have to do it now. And if you're here this morning and you've not yet bowed your knee to Jesus Christ and coming and accepting his free offer of salvation, oh friend, this morning, don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. It was wonderful to be here on a special day. Of course, baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's special to be able to be here with our sending church. And we're looking forward to tonight. I know different folks have some responsibilities tonight. But if you're at all able to make it to the concert, we're going to pull out all the stops. It won't be really long. We're going to get right to it, but we're going to do all kinds of family stuff. I'll do a few things, but we're really going to focus on a lot of the family music. And we'll do a quartet for you. Someone shared with me, they said, Brother Ben, I love hearing guys' quartets. I agree. It's why I do them myself, you know. But I've got three boys, and so the three boys and I are going to do a quartet for you tonight, as well as a bunch of other stuff, some new songs that we've not done here before. We're going to do that all this evening at 6 o'clock. You're welcome to join us, and we'd love to have you back. I see this bottled water. Is this? It says pastor on it. Does that mean today? Okay. I always listen for the seal to break. See? Daniel chapter 3. If you turn there with me this morning, Daniel chapter number 3. There's so much that I want to share with you, but for sake of time and the fact it's Sunday morning, I'm not going to do a lot except to say this as I look out and I see so many folks from so many different eras in my life. Some of you have known me since I was 3 or 4 years old. Some of you have only known our family in the last 4 or 5 years, but I can say this overall for everything is that we are so grateful for you as our sending church. I know we're kind of a unique bird in the sense that, you know, an evangelist and different things like that, as opposed to a missionary sending church. But we talk to a lot of missionaries, a lot of different folks that have sending churches, and you folks are just really special and for a lot of reasons. But we appreciate your prayer for us and concern for us. And not a week or two goes by when we don't hear from someone from here just saying, hey, we're praying for you, we're thinking about you, and that really means a lot. And so it's always good to be back in town, and appreciate Brother John Schmidt and the Ladies Missionary Fellowship anyone who had a part in getting the missionary house ready for us. We're staying over there, have been, and for the last week and a half or so, as we did some meetings in the area over actually with Brother Mark Kirkpatrick and Brother Mike Reese over in Bay City, Essexville area. Went fantastically well from my point of view, and they want us to come back. So I take that as it went well. But we appreciate your prayer so much. We'll be at our back table, our table in the lobby, I should say, after the service, if you want to talk or pick up some CDs and such. Daniel chapter 3 is one of those passages of Scripture that we're pretty familiar with. And I'm going to go ahead and read a good portion of this, beginning in verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Somebody was a little bit self-obsessed. Somebody had a pretty big idea of who they were and they wanted everyone to know it. Is that a day and age in which we live? Every man declaring his own greatness? We do, don't we? In fact, we have. I left my smartphone down with one of my kids, wherever they are. They're around here somewhere. We have opportunities on our own cell phones to declare how great we are as we go live and all this. Unless you think I'm criticizing you, I do it all the time. Hopefully not declaring my own greatness, but letting people in on a little window of what's going on in our life. But we all know that we live in a day and age when people are obsessed with trying to get 15 minutes of fame. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't have to worry about 15 minutes of fame. He was going to have something that was longer lasting. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. If you had a naturally resonant voice, one of the possible job openings for you would have been a herald. They didn't have microphones and amplifiers, electronic and Bose systems like we have today. They searched out for people who had those voices that could carry. And the announcement went out. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Insert music here. Dun, dun, dun. These guys knew how to get the king riled up. They were, with their smooth talk, because they had to honor the king in lip service, but they were trying to stir up trouble. I'm glad we live in a day and age in which people don't do that nowadays. I'm glad we have improved as a human race. Oh, I guess that's not true. We see that all around us, don't we? In fact, some people seem to have the spiritual gift of irritation. They're just good at it. Well, these guys were doing more than irritating the king. They wanted to bring down judgment and wrath on these three young men who were standing for truth. And by the way, the Bible says, even though we'll be parked here in the Old Testament, we see from the New Testament that there are those who just cannot stand those who are righteous. And sometimes you can't explain some of the hate that is out there other than how God's Word explains it, which there are those who simply cannot stand those who stand for truth. And there's nothing you can say or do or compromise on or whatever. There's just people that are going to hate you if you stand for truth. And we shouldn't be surprised, right? Marvel not, said Jesus. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you too. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? You know what, friends? Each and every one of us, at some point in our life, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, we're going to be asked this question. Do not ye serve my gods? In some ways, we're already being asked that question now. Do you serve the gods of this age? Do you serve the gods of the media? Do you serve the gods of priorities that are put in front of us? That's the question we face. Oh no, we don't have obvious idols like big statues being set up like Nebuchadnezzar did, but oh, the idols and the statues of political correctness and wanting to get ahead and all these things. Oh, we're asked this question, do not ye serve my gods? They got another chance, verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that what time ye shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, he gave them another chance. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it and then I'll explain it, okay? We're seeing a lot of churches take the second chance that's given to them by our culture. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you can't accept Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, you're going to have a problem with the rest of the Bible. There are so-called churches today that have said, you know what? We can fudge, we can compromise, we can give away some truth in order to be better accepted by our society. And so they'll say, well, maybe God didn't create, maybe it's kind of just all mixed together, and we want to be scientific too. And so they give away Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Listen, friends, they're taking the opportunity given to them by our culture to say, hey, I'll give you another chance. And they take that opportunity, and in so doing, they give away the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, we're told. I'm so glad for what happens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. By the way, that doesn't mean that they weren't circumspect in how they spoke. It doesn't mean they were careless and they just, you know, winged out. Winged, is that past tense? I don't think it's wung. I think it's winged, right? Okay. They winged out a response. It doesn't mean that. They were respectful. O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They were saying that they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to debate. I really believe that now is the time where we need to make sure, it's always been this way, but we need to make sure that we are raising the next generation to know Bible truth like the back of their hand. In their heart and in their soul, friends, we are in a battle right now over, does God have the right to set the rules for His creation? That's the battle we're in. And as I've been on the road for almost 20 years now, can you imagine that? Isn't that crazy? That really, I have reordered my priorities in the messages that I preach so that they're centered on basic Bible principles and truths. I've always done that, but I've organized them in such a way to answer key questions because that's the battle today. Does God have the right? That's it. I mean, you can apply that in all the different areas that we face. Does God have the right? It's Genesis 1:1. I think Brother Ken Ham is onto the right thing. As he posed, hey, that is the key. We've got to know that answer. Besides, we're supposed to be ready always to give an answer, right? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. What are they saying? First of all, it's a message of faith. They know God's able to deliver them. Oh, friends here this morning, can I encourage you? God's arm has not grown short that he cannot save. I don't know what you might be facing in your life, whether it's a health difficulty, a relationship difficulty, a money difficulty, a planning ahead difficulty. Whatever it might be, it could be personal, it could be public, whatever it is, listen, friend, God can and will work in your situation as you pray and as you make yourself available to him. God's still powerful. Listen, we are seeing God do incredible things as we're on the road. And I'll even say this. I'll go so far as to say, as I look out, I don't have my contacts in, so I'm guessing at the identity of some of you at the moment. I'm pretty sure I know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. But there are some people right here in this room that God has done amazing things in your life in the last 5 years, 10 years. God's still strong. These young men were strong in faith. Oh, we need that today. Verse 18. Are you ready? Here it is. The first three words. But if not. I want to ask you one question. Are you ready? What if God chooses not? You say, what's the rest of that sentence? No, I'm stopping there. What if God chooses not? What did they say? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods. Okay, they knew the answer was God, but they didn't know the future. They didn't know like we know the end of the story, right? We know what's going to happen. Oh yeah, God's going to, you know, there's going to be a fourth man in the fire. And I'm not even going to read the rest of the story here this morning. And by story, I mean history, okay? It's not a made up account. But I'm not reading the rest of the account here. We're stopping right there. Because many times in our lives, I think we set each other up, and maybe sometimes we set our kids up for trouble in their Christian life by teaching them that God always works in the sense that we think he ought to. We don't use those words. I've known folks that say, hey, you know what? I thought I became a Christian because I thought my life would be better. Well, what about Paul? Was his life better? Well,
it was spiritually better, Brother Ben.
Okay, amen. All right. Tell that to him when he's just been left for dead. After having rocks thrown at him. I like saying it that way because it makes us think about it. Like having rocks thrown at him. Right? After he's unjustly put in prison. After he had to be let down a wall. I'm scared to death of heights. I don't know. I might have just been captured. I'm not going over that wall. You know? That's it. Okay, I'm turning it in, you know. He had to be let down the wall, right? That's crazy. All these things. Life didn't get better for him. Listen, here's the point. The point is this. These young men were strong in the faith and they said, you know what? God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve the gods of Babylon. And you know what, friends? That's what we need. Not an arrogant in your face, I'm going to do my own thing. This is anything but that. This is a determination from the bottom of their souls that no matter what went on around them, they were going to be faithful to God. Oh, my church family this morning, our sending church, can I strengthen you with these words? Be determined in your heart and soul by the grace of God that, yes, with grace and with love, but you're going to stand on truth. Don't get tempted. There are folks that over the last 20 years, I'll just use that as a number. We could go a bunch of different numbers, but there's folks that used to worship with us who have gone on tangents. I'm not talking about moving for jobs or things like that. I'm talking about there are people who have said, you know what? I don't believe this anymore. I'm done with it. And they've left and it grieves our hearts. It happens all around us. The statistics are I was going to say interesting. I think they're worse than interesting as far as the generations that stay in our churches. Why is that? I think sometimes it's because the reason is that we set ourselves up for failure by thinking that, boy, if I just follow God, he's going to work miraculously. He can. Sometimes he does. And we praise him. We say, oh, there he is, God in the midst of the flames. That's wonderful. But what if he hadn't? What if he chose not to deliver them? Don't read the rest of the passage. Just think to ourselves here this morning, Lord, would you help me to be faithful? Friends, this isn't a motivational speech where I'm going to try to convince you to stand for truth in your own strength. Because guess what? Just like the song says, based on the Word of God, the arm of flesh will what? Fail you, ye dare not trust your own, right? It's not something we can do in and of ourselves. We've got to be dependent on the Lord. I believe, number one, that are the people around us in this area, in this city. It is amazing to me. Because we come back, we get snapshots. Right? I remember going to, when I was in at Calvary Baptist Academy here, and I'd be walking down the hall, I would, you know, walk past a door, and, you know, because I wanted to be kind to the teacher, I'd turn around and walk past the door again. And, you know, I'm distracting the students. I was nice that way as in, you know. But you'd get these, amen. Thank you, Pastor Reese. I appreciate it. But you'd get these snapshots of the people in the room, right? Because you're only passing by. And one moment someone would be like, next moment they'd be, and then there'd be, you know, these snapshots. As we come back to the various cities and churches, and we're back here often, but it gives us snapshots. Listen, our city's wrestling. There's a lot of false teaching going on in this county. And I can sense it and I can see it. I visit, you know, our newspaper, Midland Daily online, and I'm reading articles, and I try to stay up to date as best I can. I'm on some of these social media groups in town where I can see the thoughts and minds of people as I'm keeping up to date what's going on in my hometown. And friends, there are spiritual battles being waged here every day all around us. Friends, we can't afford to mess around. We've got to be strong. Yes, in love, absolutely. But we've got to be firm, and we've got to say, listen, I'm not going to serve the gods that are being served around here. I'm going to be committed to the truth. Well, what does that mean? That means we got to love the Word. We got to stay in the Word. But let's also be sponges that get wrung out so we're ready the next week, right? That's how we take in, but we give out. We take in and we give out, right? That's a healthy life cycle. But I'm glad those words are in there. But if not, we're still going to be faithful. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to fellowship around the Lord's table. But can we just take a moment and maybe think and reflect on what the Holy Spirit would bring to our minds? How committed are you to the truth? You say, Brother Ben, I'm a faithful servant. I've been teaching this class, or I've been doing this, or I do that. Oh, those are wonderful things. But listen, we can lose our core in the midst of serving. We've got to make sure that we're coming back to the truth and saying, Lord, by your grace, I want to remain faithful. Maybe you're here this morning and you've drifted some way in your life. Maybe you've drifted just your commitment level to the truth. Maybe you've grown discouraged because God has not worked in a way that you expected Him to. Friend, don't turn on God. Come back to Him this morning. Say, well, Brother Ben, I just don't feel close to God. Listen, He's not the one that moves, it's us. If you're here this morning and say, you know, Brother Ben, the Holy Spirit's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? You folks know me. I'm not high pressure. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you. But if that's you, you'd say, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, Brother Ben. Would you just simply slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Amen. 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 Anyone else this morning? Say, that's me, Brother Ben. The Holy Spirit's working in my heart in some way. Would you pray for me? Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for this account. These young men were ready to stand for truth, even if things didn't go their way. And from their perspective, there was no way out. Lord, help us to follow in their example. Lord, that starts with being saved. That starts with trusting you. We can't do things in our own strength. We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. And to have the Holy Spirit, we've got to trust you and become saved. We've got to trust you. Lord, if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice or watching on live stream, whatever it might be, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would realize that they're a sinner and that Jesus, who was and is God, died for their sin and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And they, if they will believe in their heart that you died for them, Lord, they can believe and accept you. Lord, for the rest of us, especially those who lifted their hands, that's just a representation of a heart. I can't think of a better way to have some heart examination right now of our motivations and our thought processes and what's going on in our spirit, Lord, before this time of the Lord's Supper. But strengthen us with your truth. Strengthen us with your word. Give us a conviction to be true to you no matter what the gods are around us that demand our service. There's only one true God and it's you. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.